Phoenix. When Galileo came to tea, I gave him gooseberry jam, for he requested it so charmingly that I could not refuse. He sucked it from a wooden spoon and sang aloud a doleful tune concerning maidens born in June. He sang a dreary blues. He put the toast-rack on his head, without much room to go to bed. The hammock had been filled with lead. It was a woeful ruse. He put his pocket on his arm. His telescope had come to harm, for he had lost it on the farm where Anne the Angus moves. Then upon the girl he lay and ran his fingers through the hay and sang to her a roundelay of irreligious views. She was enraptured by his skill and scampered up the sunny hill. We watched them from the window sill in fours and threes and twos. She lay exhausted by his side and watched astonished as he cried, "Alas, my love, my lofty pride, I beg, excuse." Then Galileo took her home and told her never more to roam from his arching wooden dome, Mount Palomar. A glass of milk, a yard of ale, a skein of silk, so pale and wan enough to sail the seven seas. A book of prose, of poetry, a tale of woes so free and ease enough to see a fleur-de-lis. A sack of tomes and semi-breves, excessive loans of leaves that every sailor heaves to Pharisees. A bag of jam, a garlic clove, a baby ram, he'll rove until the skies turn mauve and burn the trees. A telescope, a looking-glass. The gloomy deceiver unravels the fleeces in the clouds, the giant from Gullible's travels, whose head was in the shrouds, the doleful meringue-maker sings, his hands in the mangle he wrings, we all are as glass, and shatter when he sings. I haven't heard the telephone since 1963, although I have a red one in my room. I never saw an ambulance become a bumblebee, although I waited patient by its tomb. Although I patent washers for the groom who slops the horsey water over me and bids me write the silken tomes of golden selene of Babbacombe. I always used to jump from heights of more than 60 miles and fall into a tiny muddy pool, a parachute for octopi. The natives of these isles are senile, like a fornicating fool, a product of the now-or-never school, who wraps his willing victim up in smiles and lodges him feet upward, silent head athwart the piles of gooseberry fool. I always used to rise to depths here too unknown to elves, where octopi compile a sombre chart. O bumblebee, who keep your treasure high upon these shelves, which you from men must always keep apart, withhold from any vacillating heart, from any peering seeker, if he delves among the watery valuables they're keeping for themselves upon the cart. A product of the never-never class, the misered men who babble but avoid the parachute. For we are only glass.
We are only glass.
I, O king, am the welder's son, and my father now is dead. See, before your court I bring his fellow concrete head. The potion to restore him must not have excessive lead, or he will never live again to solder, nay, and weld. Whoso beheld and read the mystic tale, the wrathful curse upon my father laid, by all the feeble Argonauts whose bills were never paid, by all the fearful Visigoths who ever raped a maid, this curse was fatal, dire, will never be repealed, whose fate is sealed and slayed by those who wished the welder well, by those who never knew how dire would be the dreadful deeds that they could not undo. They shrieked and wailed, invoked the shark, and washed their hands in rue, for penitent repentance of their horrible mistake, which none may make but those who do. And he who was so upright once that he could not be prone, and he who seemed too deaf to hear the gilded telephone, he who showed the silent maids how apples should be grown, has vanished from the vision of the viceroy and the vole. They called the roll. Alone the welder's name was never heard, was never read therefrom. His name is not, I have forgot, nor Harry, Dick, nor Tom. In the silence that ensued, we wept with great aplomb. The organ played, the flags were gone, there was no cause to sing. Oh, bless me now, and I shall ply my father's trade, O king!